There was great outreach yesterday all over the area. We believe somebody's going to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. Brother Phillips, we love you. Come and take your liberty.
If you believe what the bishop just said, you ought to clap your hands unto the Lord. You say, Lord, let it be in my house. You ought to lift your voice while you're clapping your hands. If you want it to be your family that's saved, why don't you lift your voice while you're clapping your hands? If you want the Holy Ghost to fall on your row, why don't you just lift your voice and tell him, Jesus, fall on our row. Let the Holy Ghost be poured out. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 7, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. One verse of scripture this morning. Again, let me say what an honor and a privilege it is to be back in this house. Amen. We come together to give God praise and glory, and how wonderful it is to be able to come into the presence of the Lord. Amen. Brother Sutton, I give you honor today. This is my friend. He's a visionary. He is an evangelist. He is an apostle. There's a lot of things that I could say. But just suffice it to say that when God sent someone to Birmingham, he sent the best. Amen. 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 I greet every saint of God in this house, and as the bishop has so eloquently put it, if you're a visitor here today, let me just tell you, if you've never been around Pentecostalism, apostolic worship, things of that sort, if you think we got crazy today, you should come back tonight. Because it gets real fun on Sunday night. We have a good time in the Holy Ghost. But I feel today that the Lord has laid this on my heart, and I want to preach it with the help of the Lord and the help of the good saints of this church. And hopefully somebody can find themselves here and get help, get healing, and have hope today. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3, the Bible says, and there were four leprous men. Someone say leprous. Four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. They said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Why sit we here until we die? Amen. The Bible tells us not this, doesn't give names. It just says that there are four leprous men. Man, if God will help us today, I want to preach to us just a simple thought for the next few moments. Walking in weakness. Walking in weakness. Would you help me right now by lifting your hands to heaven and your heart to the Lord? God, we love you. We're so thankful, Lord, to know you in the fullness of your power. We ask you, Lord, right now, have your way, Jesus. Speak to our hearts, our minds, our soul. I ask you today, God, that you would move in a mighty way. Saturate this house in your glory. Saturate this house with your power. Lord, would you fill somebody with the gift of the Holy Ghost today? Would you fill someone with your spirit, evidence of speaking in other tongues? God, would you touch my lips of clay? There's people here today that need your help, and I can't help them, God, but you can. So somewhere through the midst of this, could you speak to them today, Jesus? Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. One more time, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thanksgiving? Come on, if you're really thankful to be in his house.
Amen. You may be seated.
The precept of this story begins, I promise y'all today, I'm not going to be like a long airplane. I'm going to be like a helicopter. We're going to go up and come back down, and we're going to get out of the way. But the precept of this story begins with a famine in the land. There is nothingness. There is barrenness. There is a drought. And there's a lot of stuff I could talk about here in this city, how it is besieged. But hopefully we can get to that at a later date, a later time. But because of the barrenness, there is a famine in the land. And the precept begins as a man of God shows up and says, tomorrow about this time,
You're going to see this thing turn around. God is going to bring a victory to this city. I wish I had time to preach tomorrow about this time, but we'll just kind of move on from there and hopefully come back to it here in maybe a couple services. But one thing I want to point out to you, as the Lord pointed it out to me, is when you read this text, is that the fact that whoever the writer is, he never mentions the names of these four men, but rather he labels them by their condition. There is no identity given, just a condition. Can I tell you today that you don't have to buy into the lie of the devil that your condition is who you are? You don't have to buy into the lie of the enemy that said, you've been a liar, so that's who you are. Or you've been a thief, so that's who you are. Or you've been an addict, so that's who you are. I'm going to tell you today, that's why God came, to give you an identity so you can understand who you are, not in yourself, but in Him. I'm not going to buy into the label that the enemy wants me to believe. Isn't it amazing how he uses our weaknesses to try to get us to believe that that is who we are, by saying stuff like, you just missed God before you walked into the church today. But can I tell you today that that was then and this is now, and I serve a God that is faithful to forgive and is just and is righteous. And let me just tell you, you're in a church today that we don't care if you sinned right before you walked in the door. We know a God that's bigger than every sin, that's bigger than every failure, that's bigger than every fault. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you come from. Our God is bigger. Our God is stronger. Can I tell you today that people might see you as a mess, but God sees you as a message in the making. People might see you as junk and thrown away, but I'm here to tell you that God will look down in this service and say, what one man calls junk, I'll pick it up, I'll wash it off, and I'll make it become treasure. You don't need to listen to what the world is saying about who you are. That's not your identity. You are who God says you are. Can I take just a few more moments and preach to someone who feels as if you are a leper and you've been sitting on the outside of the gate and you don't feel worthy to come into the house of the Lord? Can I tell you, you just keep on coming because although people may label you bad things, God has His hand on your life. And the reason you're here today is not by accident. It's not just because of family member invited you or somebody handed you a church card, but the reason you're here today is because God wanted to show you that in your weakness my strength is made perfect. In your failures I am more than enough. In your insignificance I am more than strong enough to pick you up and to turn you around. Somebody needs to hear me today. You walked in weak, but you can walk in with your You can walk out with your head high, your shoulders rolled back, knowing that I have an identity. I might have been weak when I walked in, but I'm walking out with power. I'm walking out with anointing. I'm walking out with God on my side. Hallelujah. And so these weak, feeble men, labeled by condition, began to move. They asked themselves the simple question, why sit we here until we die? And then you can read the next couple of verses. It gives you commentary. I'm not going to read it for length's sake today, but you can go home and read it in 2 Kings chapter 7. They begin to have a conversation amongst themselves. They said, if we go back into the city, there is a famine there, and we will die. Famine meaning emptiness and barrenness. God wanted somebody to know today that the place that you came from is just as empty as you left it. It's easy to get sitting outside of the gate. And when you get outside of the gate and you become complacent in your walk with God, you become complacent in living for God, or you become complacent because you've bought into the lie that you, the label that the enemy has given you is who you are. When you buy into that, it's really easy to get complacent and sit down and not do anything. And when we do that, it's the first thing we do. We start looking back to the dormant places that we come from. You can take the children of Israel, for example. God called them out of Egypt and called them out of bondage. He called them out of sin and gave them a promise. But what God did not tell them is that every promise has a process. And so in the process, they're sitting in a metaphorical way. They're sitting outside their gate, and they're sitting outside of their promise, waiting on God to do what he promised that he would do. And they get complacent in this time, in this process, and start saying stuff like, "Would to God that we'd have stayed in Egypt." Let me ask you a question. You had it better in bondage? You had it better back in the weak and beggarly elements of the world? You had it better when you got it. Listen, I know that you have to fight depression, and I know we get it. I get it. The Holy Ghost don't make all your problems disappear. I'm not here to tell you today that the Holy Ghost is a one-stop shop, that when you get the Holy Ghost, you never have another problem again. That's not what I'm here to preach to you today. But I am here to tell you that if you're going to have to fight depression, it's better to fight it with something living on the inside of you that's greater than the depression. If you're going to have to fight addiction, it's better to fight addiction with something on the inside of you that's greater than the addiction. I know the Holy Ghost don't make your problems disappear, but I tell you what it will do. It'll give you a promise of the day that you can walk out of Egypt and walk out of the famine and walk out of the barrenness. Somebody needs to hear me today. Don't get complacent and start looking back to Egypt. Honey, we're going to the promised land where the milk and honey flows. I know you're in the wilderness right now, but I'm here to tell you that if you walk in your weakness, if you walk through the wilderness, if you walk through every hell that comes your way, and you'll recognize that as long as I'm walking, God is walking with me. As long as I'm moving, he's moving. As long as I'm not dead, there's still hope, and God can move in my. I'm here to preach to somebody today. I'm trying to get you to get up out from the outside of the gate in the weakness that you're in and start walking, start moving, start going somewhere. You see, everybody wants to be delivered, but nobody wants to be developed, because development hurts. And development puts you in places where you don't like where you're at, and you don't like what you're going through. And it's just our human instinct. When we don't like where we are and we don't like where we're going, we just sit down and take a break. Well, I think I just hit a nerve right there. It's too hard, preacher. And I'm tired. Keep walking. I'm weak. Keep walking. I'm torn to pieces. Keep walking. My family's falling apart. Keep walking. My mind's going crazy. Just keep walking. Because I'm here to tell you right now, we are living in a season. They said we can either die here, or we can get up and move forward. We can get up and go to somewhere where at least we might have a chance of making it. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. Every time I move, it feels like I'm dying. Well, honey, I'd rather you feel like you're dying and live than be comfortable and die right by the gate any day of the week. I'd rather you get in the battle and fight until you ain't got nothing left. If you're gonna die, honey, go out kicking and biting. If you're gonna die, die with a sword in your hand. Don't sit on the side of the battlefield and just expect somebody else. No, friend. You gotta walk when you're weak. You gotta walk through the storm. You gotta walk through the rain. You gotta walk through the pain. I'm here to tell you today, if you walk in weakness, God won't leave you. If you walk through your weakness, he'll be right beside you. This is not the season. This is not the hour. This is not your moment to get lazy. And I could preach it a whole lot more eloquent, but just let me preach it how I feel like preaching it today. Can I just preach it how a country boy would preach it? You don't have time to be lazy today. I'm not talking about getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning and going to work. I'm talking about in a spiritual sense. You don't have time to say, well, I've never been to church before. It doesn't matter. You still don't have time to be lazy spiritually. Because let's just deal with this attitude that we deal with in 2021. Let's let God do it. Jesus can fix it. Yeah, and all that is true, but can I tell you that God is looking for somebody to get involved with their own miracle? Jesus said, I can raise Lazarus up, but you got to roll away the stone. I can feed the 5,000, but you got to give me the loaves and the fishes. I can raise the lame man, but you got to tear the roof off. You got to get involved with your, I can feel your nets, but you got to cast them on the other side of the sea. I can restore your sight, but you got to go wash. See, every miracle that happens has to have somebody to get involved in their weak state and recognize that I am standing in the miraculous, and I can let my weakness stop me from getting my miracle, or I can say in my weakness, in my blindness, I'll go wash. I might be dead, but somebody will roll away the stone. I might be hungry, but somebody will give the loaves and the fishes. I'll get involved with my miracle. Hey, you can't sit back in your apostolic lazy boy and expect God to do it. Press in. Step for you. Why sit we here until we die? The devil has tricked you into believing that because you're weak, you're not profitable for the kingdom, but the devil is a lie. The devil's tried to trick you into believing that because of your weakness, you could never be used by God, but the devil's still a liar. The devil's convinced you that because your family fell apart, that you don't have a place in the kingdom of God. But you hear this crazy preacher from Mississippi tonight. God is greater than your weakness if you just get up and walk. David comes back from Ziklag, going out. He comes back from a battle only to realize that he lost one he didn't even know he was fighting. He goes out to face the devil on the forefront. The devil slips in the back door and burns down Ziklag. He comes together with his men, and he asks them the question. He said, what are we going to do? And they start... They start fussing and fighting amongst themselves. And David, the Bible says, David is distressed. And you know why David is distressed? Because now his own brethren are talking about killing him. Distress is just a 2021 term of being stressed out. That's the biblical term. I could tell you in the Hebrew and the Greek and all that, but just let me suffice it to say. He was stressed out. He was stretched thin. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever been there where, you know, like you just had all you can have? That lip starts quivering a little bit. You start clenching your teeth, squeezing your hand, and all of a sudden that one big old tear comes out. You know what I'm talking about. David's stressed out. I mean, who wouldn't be stressed out? His friends are talking about killing him. He's done lost his wife, his kids, his 401k. Everything gone. And David starts looking around, and all his friends have forsaken him. And David snaps. And the Bible says that David being stressed, David having the place where He was just about to lose it. David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know why encouraging yourself is so important? Because nobody knows what you need to hear like you know what you need to hear. David knew where he was, and there wasn't a man of God around to lay hands on David and say, David, everything's going to be all right. So David looked himself in the mirror and said, let me tell you something. I'm going to prophesy to you and tell you everything's going to be all right. And I tell somebody today, you keep waiting on the man of God to come up and lay hands on you and somebody to prophesy to you. Honey, prophesy to yourself. Walk in your weakness. I know you're stressed out. I know it feels like your world's crumbling and falling apart. But hear me today. You got to get the spirit of David on you and start. I'm walking into my house and I'm laying hands on every devil and letting it know you don't have any power here. You don't have any control here. I know I'm weak. I know I've been a failure. I know I've made mistakes. But I'm going to walk in my weakness. You're not always going to have somebody there to encourage you, honey. You got to learn when nobody's there to help you to put one foot in front of the other and get up in the morning and pray. And when you go to work and all hell falls apart, you stood that other foot in front of the other and you keep walking, David. I know you feel like giving up. I know your friends have walked away, but you put another foot in front of the other, and you just keep walking one step in front of the other. You walk in your weakness.
You see, when David snapped, he encourages himself, and then the Bible says, see, we got it backwards. Then the Bible says that he called for the linen ephod. See, the way which is a type and shadow of anointing. We understand what that was. The linen ephod was there when Aaron was anointed. And any time they want to get anointed in the Old Testament, it's not like you and I today where the Holy Ghost is internal. It was an external experience. And so they had to put on garments and they had to go into places to feel the presence of the Lord. And that's a whole other message in itself. But David calls for the linen ephod, the anointing. After he encouraged himself. See, you don't want to hear that. This is the kind of preaching we don't really like to hear. Because we want to get anointed before we encourage ourselves. We want to be able to stand and say, hey, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost, so I know everything's going to be all right. But you don't always feel the anointing of God to know everything's going to be all right. David, you got to learn how to do it on your own, son, because when you learn how to live for God when you can't feel God, then you're a force to be reckoned with. Can I tell somebody today that the reason the devil is trying to get you to buy into the lie that you're a leper is because he's scared to death if you ever figure out how to live for God on the mountain and in the valley low when you feel him and when you can't, when you're on church on Sunday or if you're on your job on Monday. He's scared to death that if you ever learn how to live for God in that season that you'll leave Ziklag and you'll go and take back everything that the devil has stolen and then some. You'll go back to hell's camp where he's been holding your joy and holding your peace. You walk in your weakness right up to the devil's door, kick it down and tell him, hey, I want all my stuff back. That's why the devil is trying to get you to buy into the lie that it's always going to be this way. David asked the Lord, he said, shall we pursue? And God said, pursue, for you shall overtake all. I got a word for somebody today. Get up in your weakness and pursue the things that you have lost. And I got the prophetic word that says you will overtake all. Go get your family. You're going to overtake them. Go get your joy. You're going to overtake it. Go get your peace. You're going to overtake it. Don't just sit around. David, get up. Get up. Weak men, get up. Leper, get up and walk through your weakness.
Weak, feeble, leprous men. I don't mean to be gross this morning, but most likely missing body parts, rotten and off because of this dreaded disease. They're not whole. God, I feel like just telling somebody that
he walked out on you or she walked out on you and now you don't feel whole. This ain't in my notes. This is what I feel right now in the Holy Ghost. They left. And because they left, you feel like you're standing at the gate and you're here and you're not usable for the kingdom. But when weak, leprous men, body parts missing, they're not all there. The scars of their past are all over them. But when they begin to move, when they begin to walk, the Bible says that just down the road, the people, the Assyrians that had tried to stop God's people from being able to live life abundantly, they said they started hearing stuff. You see, when you walk in your weakness, it's not you that the devil hears, it's God. Because they said, maybe it's the army of the Lord. And you keep fighting this battle, sitting down. I'm trying to help somebody today. You keep trying to fight this battle of addiction while you're sitting. And you keep trying to fight this battle of depression while you're just sitting. Honey, you're never going to win it like that. You're never going to come out victorious fighting it from within yourself. But when you get up and recognize that the God of heaven and earth is greater than this, and if I got him living on the inside of me, say, well, preacher, I don't know that he is. Well, let me just tell you, you're at the right place at the right time, and you can get him living on the inside today. You don't have to leave here and go home and fight that battle by yourself anymore. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It gives you the power to overcome. It doesn't overcome it for you, but when you get this Holy Ghost on the inside of you, let me just tell you, it gives you power to overcome the enemy. As the musicians get ready to come, I'm closing quickly. Been convinced that it's always going to be this way. Who said it always had to be this way? That's what I want to know. Who said you've got to live the rest of your life miserable because of what happened way back then? Well, preacher, you don't understand. I was molested as a child. Look, I'm not trying to make light of that. Please, don't misunderstand me. But let me just tell you something. That weakness that you're standing in right there, if you'll walk with it, you're not trying to leave it. Don't leave it behind. Walk with it. Walk in it. Walk through it. Walk while you're weak, walk while you're hurt, walk while you're bitter, walk while the regret's there, walk while you're trying to forgive yourself, walk while you're tormented in your mind. Just whatever you do, don't stop walking. Can I take you to Luke chapter 17 very quickly? I'm closing as they get ready to come and sing. Luke chapter 17, verse 14. Understand, Jesus Christ is the greatest miracle worker that's ever walked in shoe leather. There's never been anybody that can do the things that he does. I mean, for crying out loud, they wrote a whole Bible about him. And John said if everything that he would have said or done was recorded, the world wouldn't have been able to contain it all. This is the miracle workers of miracle workers. Don't you think that Jesus, look, we're talking to lepers here. This is the preset of this story. And when he saw them being lepers, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Don't you think that Jesus just could have said, and all of the leprosy would have disappeared? I mean, that's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. Jesus takes the things that are unclean and makes them clean. Jesus heals the leper. Jesus raises the dead. Don't you think that he could have just said, boop, and all of a sudden they started looking down and all the missing body parts were back there and the white bumps on their face had disappeared? But no, the Bible says he told them to go show themselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Not a miracle happened until they started walking. See, you keep waiting on everything to get right, but you can't wait on everything to get right, because Jesus,
He could do it that way, but for some reason, I believe he left this for us to see in 2021 that it's not going to come as easy as you think, and there's no 7 steps to a better you that can help you, or there's no self-help book that you can read that will help you come out of this. All you've got to do is get up from where you're at and start walking in your weakness. Well, what about the shame, preacher? Honey, I'm going to tell you, there ain't nobody going to look at you down no long religious nose in this church because everybody's been where you're at, and the reason some of us are whole today is because they made the walk from where you are to where I am right now. They got up out of their pew, and in their weakness and in this insignificance and in their failures and in their faults, they started walking towards an altar, and as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, the shame fell off. As they went, the joy started coming back. As they went, the broken marriage started going back together. As they went, they got peace in their mind. As they went, they were delivered from addiction. I'm telling you, the miracle can't happen until you walk in your weakness.
As they went. See, you bought into the lie that because you've had to live in bondage, that you're useless. But can I stand with me if you will? I'm almost done, I promise. Can I tell you today that bondage is not always a sign of weakness? Sometimes bondage is a mark that the devil puts on people that he's scared to death of. And so you keep looking, it's all, and it's perception. How are you looking at this? You can look at this as my hindrance, or you can look at it as, let me just put it like this. Brother Phillips isn't deserving to be where I'm at right now. I tell people all the time, God's been way better to me than I deserve. Because if I got what I deserved, I'd have been dead a whole long time ago. If I got what I deserved, I would be another statistic of failure and fault, just like each and every individual in this house. What makes us, you say, well, what makes you so important? Nothing makes me important. I'm just a leper that's learning how to walk with the grace of God. What makes you better than everybody? I'm not better than everybody else. I'm just a leper that's learning how to walk in my weakness, and sometimes I fall. Sometimes I make mistakes, and sometimes I don't get it all right, and sometimes I don't say the right things, and sometimes I don't make the right steps, but that's why grace is here to pick you up in your leprosy and say, just keep walking. Whatever you do, don't quit walking. Come on, I wish everyone that would you make your way to an altar right now, and while you're walking, walk in your weakness. Recognize that you are a sinner, that you are a failure, that you can't do it on your own. But as I walk, it's not me that's walking, but it's Christ in me. It's the strength of God. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the help of the hand of the Lord. I wish everybody in here would find them somebody to pray with. Would you grab the neighbor by the hand and say, help me walk. Help me walk. Help me walk. Well, there's weak folks in this house today, but that's okay, because we're all weak, but his strength is made perfect in our weakness. You want to know how God shows his strength? It's in your failure. You want to know how God is his strongest? When you make a mistake, but you let it pick you back up. You want to know where God is the most powerful? It's where you're at right now, where you recognize our faults, our failures, and my shortcomings. But God is greater than my weakness. Somebody ought to pray, 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 pray. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost.
Awesome and powerful.
Somebody say,
they're fixing to sing this again, and I don't normally do this, but I want you to make this song your prayer today. And I want you to tell your weakness, our God is stronger. Our God is greater. Our God is healer. It doesn't matter what you're going through. I don't care how hurt you are, how bad they hurt you, and how much they convinced you that you were unusable. And you, let me just tell you, when God looks at you, when everybody says you're useless, He sees the value in you. Not because you're perfect, but because you're imperfect. And that's what makes God so powerful. Your imperfection, and He can use it. You're looking at these people up here on the platform today that are singing the wonderful song. And again, we're going to make this song our prayer today. And I could hand this microphone down the line and they would tell you stories. I don't know their stories, but I guarantee you there's some stories up here of people that came to God weak and hurting and wounded. But through their weakness, they started walking with God and the strength of God came. Now, I'm telling you, you don't have to get good to get God. God will pick you up where you are. You just got to make the first step. God, I'm reaching for somebody with everything I got today. I know where you are. I know where you're sitting. And I could come to you and I could lay hands on you and the Holy Ghost undoubtedly could touch you. But I'm telling you, God wants to see you get up and start walking and say, I know I've made mistakes, but if I can just walk to the altar, if I can just walk through my weakness, if I can just walk through the problem, the strength, I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen here today. If you walk, God will work. If you walk, God will work. If you walk, God will move. Come on, our God is bigger. He's greater. He's stronger. He's bigger than my weakness.
He's awesome.
You just lay hands on somebody. Reach over and grab your husband, your wife, your sister, your brother, wherever it's appropriate, by the hand, and just pray with them. Come on, God, help us. God, help us to walk through the wind storm.
A healer.
God is healer.
healer. Awesome in power.
God, let's give God praise and thanks today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up a high praise to God. Ah, we give you praise, oh God. We magnify you, Jesus. We've got a gentleman about to go down in the water in Jesus' name. So excited about what God is doing there. And we're going to have a baby dedication right now. So, Wendley and Clint, if you want to bring Leo down, and then all of your family members, grandparents, and aunties, and uncles, and all those that feel that they're just really severely connected here, you want to come down because we're going to have a time of prayer. Right down dead center here. This way, because I'm going to be talking to you, but I'm going to come down here with you. Okay. Praise God. Abuelos, abuelitas. As I said before, we don't dedicate
babies per se. We dedicate families. And I'm glad to have it in this atmosphere. A wonderful revival service. Because he needs to just grow up, cut his teeth on the moving of the Spirit of God and the good things of God and the preaching of the Word of God. It needs to be down in him at a level that is above his conscious awareness. It needs to be organic, deeply imprinted down in him. And as he comes forth, what's going to be most important to him is going to be this house, this family, and this mom, and this dad. And he's going to inevitably follow your footprints and be just indelibly imprinted with your approach to life and living for God and your prayer, your reverence for the Word of God. And the way that you treat one another is the framing for his idea concerning marriage. And the way that you walk out your life and work your jobs and take care of your house, all of those things are going to be deeply imprinted in him. And so you're going to start him off on his journey. And this is God's creation. This is God's invention, this home and this family business. Really, really precious to God. And so for you to bring him today and to offer him before God and to say, we want our household, as Joshua said concerning his, as for me and my house, we shall live for God. We shall stand for God. And he needs to just have that down in his DNA. That's right. So I have a little Bible here for him. Do you promise before God and the witnesses here and all that you'll be a mom that he can look at and it'll cause him to know what a woman should be as she walks for God in her world? Will you vow before God and all these people that you will lead him in the way that a man should walk in the world and that you'll forsake everything else and everybody else but God and this woman and these children? You will, and a godly home, and a righteous home, and a home that is centered around the things of God and the house of God. Would you give him that environment to grow up in? God said, if you'll do it, when he's older, he won't forget it. It'll stay with him. It'll be alive in him. What a bundle of potential he is, and what a powerful promise he is. He is the heritage of God. He's like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. He'll go further than you can. I don't know when God's coming, but a life goes by in a hurry. And I'm not sure how far you'll go, but he'll go beyond you. And you'll send an emissary out full of the goodness of God and the things of God to reach further than you. In God's plan, a wonderful plan. It's a wonderful, wonderful way. So I have a word here that he can't read, and so you're going to have to keep it for him. And he would eat it and slobber all over it and tear it up. I know you want to go with me because of my unique hairstyle. I know. Babies love me. They look at first at my eyes and then they look at my head. And I connect. But I'm going to give you this to keep for him. And you promise today that you'll plant it down in his heart and that you won't stray from it and that every decision you make, you're going to make based on the Word of God. Will you do that today? Praise God. Church family, I want you to extend your hand toward them. And I'm going to give Clint this Bible. And I want these elders here to lay their hands on Wendley and on Clint and on Leo and pray for them and pray God's blessing on them right now. Would you do that right now? In the name of Jesus, I pray for this house and for this family. The anointing of God, the blessing of God, the vision and the wisdom of God. God, give them vision, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to build the house, to establish it, and to fill it full of precious things. I pray, God, that you would let anointing lead them and guide them, and that they lift up their eyes unto you. God, that they build a house that'll produce a child that'll walk as a man in the kingdom of God. I pray for you, Wendley, by the name of Jesus, that God would anoint you and anoint your prayer and lead you and guide you and bless you and strengthen you, and that you would give him all that he has need of in the way of nurture. God would bless this mother in this house, and I pray that he would do it in the name above every name. In Jesus' name, God, I pray for this baby boy that your blessing would be on him, that you would launch him, build him, strengthen him, anoint his life, turn aside every lie and every hindering thing, cause him to walk in wisdom and understanding and knowledge, to be blessed and to be a blessing. Let the kingdom of God go forth in his life. We ask it in Jesus' name. And let's give God a little praise and magnify him and thank him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Excellent to be with you in the house of the Lord today. You might want to come by and give Leo the right hand of Christian fellowship. And just welcome him to the house of the Lord. He's been here for a little while already. But tonight we're going to do this again. Prayer at 6 and an apostolic service at 6:30. God bless you.